Today's readings remind us that the source of good and evil is in the heart, not external things. The heart is our inner sanctum, where we can be pure or defiled, and both conditions emerge from us and affect the lives of others. Today's first reading, we're reminded that the purpose of the law is to enable us to grow closer to God and to show our intelligence and our wisdom. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees had derived over 600 rules and regulations from the law, all derived from the law spelled out in the Old Testament books, principally Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc. However, they had lost sight of the fundamentals, love for God and neighbor, not just ritual cleanliness. Moses reminds them today that the law is to be followed so that they not only have intelligence and wisdom, but show it. Intelligence is something that shines from within. It's not just the information we receive that counts, but how we process and use it. Wisdom influences how we perceive the world. It makes us see causes, connections, and consequences, and our actions show or disprove that we are wise. In Moses' words in Deuteronomy, it is clearly set forth, for the first time in human history, that love is the heart of the moral law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Ultimately, the moral law is the guide to the relationship of mutual law between God and his people. Today's second reading, St. James reminds us that to please God, we should strive to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Our secular world believes and promotes that there is no objective moral standard, and our nation is witnessing the destructive behavior that comes from following that principle. We are wounded by original sin and by our own sins. Obviously, not everything that feels good is good. Addicts destroy themselves by trying to feel good. Lots of behavior turns into compulsive behavior that we cannot control. This is a stained heart that our Lord wants to make clean again through love and mercy. St. James reminds us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. He doesn't want us to fall in the trap of thinking that righteousness consists in knowing a lot about the Bible or about God. Knowing the scriptures and the catechism is a great thing, but it's worth very little if it does not change our behavior. The Pharisees in our Lord's earthly time were focused on externals and had lost sight of the bigger picture. Our Lord reminds us in today's gospel that defilement comes from the heart and infects other hearts, and we should strive to maintain a purity of heart, not just a ritual cleanliness. Today's gospel, using the example of dietary laws, our Lord is teaching us that the devil made me do it is an argument that has no merit. The problem of evil has plagued man and philosophy almost since creation, and a trend has always tried to blame God or other things as the cause of sin, when all man needed to do was look in the mirror. The Lord created everything good and for the good, but his creatures freely chose to do evil instead. The fallen angels, starting with the devil, and humanity, starting with Adam and Eve. If the world is a mess, it is because we, sinners, made it so. The dietary laws in Jesus' time believed certain foods brought ritual contamination and therefore defiled a man. St. Mark makes a point of saying in his account that Jesus is teaching that there are no ritually impure foods. It's a teaching that even the first disciples would struggle with as they realized that Christianity was meant to go beyond the Jewish world and culture. The original sin of Adam and Eve robbed us of something we, their descendants, couldn't do without. And it's only thanks to the redemption that their sin didn't condemn all of us to spiritual death. However, Adam and Eve aren't to blame for all of it. We too have sinned and continue to sin. This sobering reality is not meant to discourage us. Instead, it makes us realize how desperately we do need a Savior. But do we go to Him? Will we go to Him? During the celebration of the Eucharist, we begin with a penitential rite. And after the priest prepares the gifts, he washes his hands with water, saying, "Lord, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Some jaded liturgists claim that this washing of hands just came from the main celebrant's need to wash his hands without any spiritual connotations. We begin Mass with the penitential rite because we want to participate with clean hearts, just like we wash up for a meal. The penitential rite is a cleansing from venial sins. However, there is washing up and there is cleaning up. We probably all had a moment in our lives when our mom told us to wash our hands. She sent us back to do a better job because just touching a bar of soap and a little water did not clean our hands. Similarly, if you've fallen into a mud-filled ditch, it's unlikely that washing your hands before coming to dinner would be enough. We purify ourselves ritually at Mass from venial sins and sacramentally in confession because we know we need a deep cleaning of our hearts. There's cleaning to wash away the daily grime, and there's the more radical cleaning when we need to crawl out of the cesspool of sin. Now more than ever, we need to wash and to make sure that we are clean. When God created the human person, He created us in His image and likeness. No other animal or plant shared that honor. This means that we have a self-awareness and a free will. We're able to recognize good and evil and choose between them in little things and in big things. Many psychologists would have us believe that we're victims, that we can't really control ourselves, that we have no responsibility, no ability to resist temptation, no way to form and strengthen our character, no chance of becoming saints. But our church disagrees. It realizes that choosing what is right is hard for us. That's why it gives us so many helps, like the Eucharist and confession and the catechism and prayer and spiritual direction. But it never insults us by saying that sin is just an illusion, that we really can't sin anyway. The church is too wise for such a diabolical cop-out, too experienced. She knows that if it's impossible for us to sin, it's also impossible for us to love, since both require freedom and responsibility. In our gospel today, Jesus instructed his disciples concerning sin, a very strong instruction. He told them, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a man," unquote. At our parish, the sacrament of penance is available every day of the week. This is a tremendous offering of God's grace. Times are listed in the bulletin, and Father Orlando and I are available by special appointment as well. Take advantage of one of these times to cleanse the inside of your heart. I've been at this parish now for almost 18 months. And all too often, yes, all too often, I encounter parishioners who have not been to confession in a long, long, long time. I implore you, I beseech you, I encourage you, come to Jesus in the sacrament of confession and receive his healing touch. Pope St. John Paul II wrote, "Confession is an act of honesty and courage, an act of entrusting ourselves beyond sin to the mercy of a loving and forgiving God." It's an act of the prodigal son who returns to his father and is welcomed by him with a kiss of peace. In these troubled and uncertain times, may we be ever so careful to keep ourselves in a state of grace.